In 2010, a small group of protesters gathered in the State House Rotunda to protest plans for a wind farm off the coast of Block Island. The demonstrators' complaint was that the General Assembly sped through the regulatory process for the project and the company behind it, Deepwater Wind. Then-Governor Don Carcieri championed the project, but critics from then-Democratic Attorney General Patrick Lynch to Tea Party activists labeled it a costly boondoggle.
Citizens of Rhode Island should not be put at risk of bearing the burden of high energy costs to the benefit of private industry. And so that is our primary objection.
5 years later, the protests have vanished, and Deepwater's Block Island wind farm is nearing completion. Yet the fundamental question remains of whether the cost to electricity consumers is worth it to launch a new wind industry in the state. Ratepayers are expected to pay an above-market price of $440 million for Deepwater's energy over the next two decades, according to a 2015 filing with the State Public Utilities Commission. Critics say the total tab will be more than $500 million due to added cost, like laying the cable linking Block Island to the mainland. This cost sparked the filing of a federal lawsuit last year that attempts to undo the contract between the utility company National Grid and Deepwater Wind. The plaintiffs in the case include the Rhode Island Manufacturers Association, representing one of the state's biggest commercial electricity users. Another plaintiff, former state representative Larry Earhart, recalls that Governor Carcieri's energy advisor touted the project as highly cost-effective.
He used the expression grid compatible, meaning that it would be comparable to the going rate, the going cost of electricity. So at that point, it made it certainly seem like a good idea.
Yet when Deepwater proposed to sell its wind energy to National Grid, the cost was more than twice the going rate for electricity. Earhart was a Republican state rep from North Kingstown at the time and remembers that the State Public Utilities Commission called the initial proposal commercially unreasonable. Earhart says the cost factor explains why he became a leading opponent of Deepwater's Block Island project.
The contract that was first proposed between National Grid and Deepwater had pricing that was in the vicinity of 24 cents a kilowatt hour plus an escalator over a period of 20 years. At that time, the going rate for electricity in the market was less than 12 cents and headed down.
Despite the cost, Deepwater Wind CEO Jeffrey Grabowski says wind power makes sense for Rhode Island.
We have an incredibly powerful offshore wind resource. It's a world-class wind resource.
Grabowski says the need for new energy sources is underscored by the retirement of the coal-fired plants that traditionally supplied New England's electricity.
We pay really high energy prices locally. The principal reason we pay high costs for our energy is that we have nothing local that we can control. The justification for the Block Island project and offshore wind more globally is that it is the largest source of domestic energy we have in New England. It's the only source, large source of clean energy. And if we are ever going to get our energy costs under control in the region, we have to build local projects that we control and stop importing essentially all of our power from some other part of the country.
On the cost factor, Grabowski says it's just not realistic to estimate how much ratepayers will actually wind up paying for electricity many years from now.
No one can predict the future. I know what the cost of the Block Island wind farm will be because I can predict that going forward. But where the rest of the market is completely unknown today, and it's unpredictable. So those projections of what an overmarket cost might be are simply speculation at this point.
Grabowski's point gets some backing from the corporation responsible for the regional energy supply. ISO New England cites a series of factors, including Deepwater's Block Island wind farm, in projecting lower energy costs from 2019 to 2020. But critics raise another question. They wonder whether Deepwater was part of legislative horse trading between lawmakers and former Governor Carcieri in the waning days of the 2010 General Assembly. The legislature approved the Deepwater bill one day before signing off on the job program later used to lure video game maker 38 Studios to Rhode Island. But the Deepwater bill was not transmitted to the governor's desk until after Carcieri had signed the legislation designed to attract the ill-fated video game company. The timing leads former state representative Larry Earhart to suspect a link between 38 Studios and Deepwater Wind.
I just think that it's more than coincidence.
I think that's a silly assumption, and it's coming from folks who've opposed the project for many years.
Deepwater CEO Jeffrey Grabowski says there was no nexus between Deepwater and 38 Studios. Grabowski, a former chief of staff for Governor Carcheri, was Deepwater's lawyer when the company was selected to develop Rhode Island's wind farm. He offers this rebuttal to critics who call Deepwater an example of crony capitalism.
I think they miss what we're really trying to do here, which is to build a new clean energy industry in Rhode Island, something that's gained tremendous international attention, something we're very proud of. We're building clean energy for the next generation here. And I think there are always small-minded opponents who like to find conspiracies.
As for former Governor Carcheri, he did not respond to multiple requests for comment for this story. In 2010, the Conservation Law Foundation was among the groups that saw the abbreviated regulatory process created for Deepwater as a troubling precedent. The head of the environmental group's Rhode Island office, Tricia Yeadley, now takes a more nuanced view of the energy company. Yeadley says there are hard costs associated with keeping Rhode Island dependent on fossil fuels, and she points to plans for a wind farm off the Massachusetts coast. Yeadley says the project would not have happened without Deepwater's Block Island initiative.
It is a project that opened the door for essentially a New England-wide renewable energy revolution.
Deepwater has 12 full-time employees in Rhode Island, and an estimated 300 people will have worked on the 5-turbine Block Island wind farm before it begins producing electricity. That's expected to happen in November, and it's a prelude to the company's more ambitious project, Deepwater One, which calls for up to 250 wind turbines over more than 250 square miles in the Atlantic. So does this wind power represent a smart investment or a corporate giveaway that will lead to higher bills for electricity? The answer to that question may not be known for many years. Ian Donis, Rhode Island Public Radio.